Good evening, brothers and sisters. I'm thankful for this opportunity to open the Word of God among you tonight. Yeah. The passage I adopted to preach tonight is Psalm chapter 16, a very familiar and famous chapter for many Christians. Psalm chapter 16. On the page 575. This chapter, Psalm chapter 16 is about resurrection. Psalm talking about Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Yeah, Jesus Christ, his resurrection is our hope, is our strength. Yeah, is our power as we live in this earth. So, yeah, if you find it, please pay your attention to the Word of God. Psalm chapter 16. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasure forevermore. This is the Word of God. Please, join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you gather us together again this evening. We should worship you together. We worship you because you are worthy. You are our God. You are our Father. Father, we ask you to accept our worship in your Son Jesus Christ. We also thank you for the word you give us. Give us understanding so that we could enter into your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What is the abundant life Jesus Christ have for us as his disciple? And how to live out that abundant life? I think there are two important questions Christians should ask today. Where can we find the answer to such kind of questions? What is abundant life? How to live out abundant life? Where can I find the answer to these two questions? The answer to these two questions is in the Psalm chapter 16, I believe. So tonight, I would like you tell you that you may have abundant life in Jesus Christ if you follow God's direction. You may have abundant life in Jesus Christ if you follow God's direction. Two points I will preach regarding this topic. One is having abundant life. You need to set the Lord always before you. The second point, having abundant life, you need to set your mind on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. First one, having abundant life, you need to set the Lord always before you. Verse 1 to 8. From verse 1 to 3 said, verse 1, preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. We don't know the occasion in which David wrote this psalm. We also don't know why David asked God to preserve him. But we know that David had a heart to trust in God. In God, he takes refuge. This is a wonderful statement for faith. David, we know David once hid himself in the caves to escape his enemies. But David didn't see the caves. In the cave, he takes refuge. He said in his heart, the true protection is only found in God. Because he trusts in God, he asks God to preserve him. Maybe we could ask a second question. What does it mean to trust in God for David? What does it mean for him to trust in God? Verse 2 says, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. The phrase, you are my Lord, is a covenantal language, showing that David possessed a high self-consciousness of this personal relationship, his personal relationship with God, and his identity before the Lord. David said, you are my Lord. What does it mean by this statement? How does that statement impact on his life? The following words give us more information. I have no good apart from you. I have no good apart from you. For David, God is the only source of all his good, spiritually and physically. And all his good is from God. This is the fundamental confession of a godly mind and the reason why godly people take refuge in God and loves to worship and serve him. I believe you often say the same word, you are my Lord. God, you are my Lord. What does it mean when you say that? But for David, it's very clear. When he said, you are my Lord, that means I have no good apart from you. You are the only source of all my good. Until now, we see David's personal relationship with God. He loves and trusts God. But how does such kind of relationship show it is living and active in David's life? Verse 3 says, as for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. David loves God's people. He loves God's people because he loves God. The lesson teaches us here is this. People who loves God must love God's people. It is impossible to separate loving God from loving God's people. it is impossible for anyone to love Christ but not be a part of a church as the body of Christ. David loves God. He loves God's people, and in such a way testify his living and true relationship with the Lord, in whom he trusts and loves. Besides that, David also find satisfaction in God. Verse 4 to 5. David finds satisfaction in the Lord. But before he tells he finds satisfaction in the Lord, he shows us a very important truth. Verse 4, the sorrow of those who run after another God shall multiply. The sorrow of those who run after another God shall multiply. Contrast with the truth that God is the only source of all good, the opposite is true. The idolatry is a source of sorrow. The sin of idolatry could be hidden so deep in people's heart, and people are not willing to acknowledge it and deal with it. But God's word is true for those who run after another God. The another God might be money, power, spouse, and their children, etc. The scripture tells us their sorrow shall multiply. A Christian friend of mine who worry about his son's life and family too bad, even hard to sleep. She was very painful and wasn't released until one day her pastor confronted her, saying, "You commit to adultery. You see your son as God. This is why you are stressful and painful." David knows that, so he says, "Their offering of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips." He keeps himself far away from sin of idolatry. He gives his singular loyalty only to the Lord who loves him and save him forever. And the verse 4 says, "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot." The Lord is my chosen portion, David said. The Lord is my chosen portion. Its concept comes from God's word to Aaron, the high priest. Numbers chapter 18, verse 20. The Lord said to Aaron, "You shall have no inheritance in their land, neither shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the people of Israel." This is regulation the Lord is for Aaron's house. We know the regulation is for Aaron's house, but principle behind that regulation is for all God's people. God wants all his people to say, "The Lord is my portion and my cup," like David said. What do the chosen portion and the cup refer to? Different commentators have different interpretations. But according to the concept, context, this psalm, they can simply refer to all the blessings David had in his life. That is good. That is God himself. And he believes the Lord holds his lot. Give more information about what David believes. The Lord holds his lot. That means David knows his future and his destiny is in God's hand, who is merciful and faithful to him. Therefore, he doesn't need to worry about. And verse 6, the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. What does David express here? He pictures to us the countenance and the satisfaction he found in the Lord. We could see that David truly knows and has abundant life in Christ. He knows how to enjoy him forever. Brothers, sisters, how do you live your life before the world? God not only preserved David, satisfied him, and God also counseled him as he walked with God. Verse 7, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night, my heart instructs me. This is another very beautiful picture this psalm shows us. Our Lord not only preserved and protected David, he also gave counsel and spoke to David as needed. From the scripture, we know God did speak to David in different ways. Sometimes God spoke to David through prophets. Sometimes the Holy Spirit directly spoke to him. But more often, which I believe is through the scripture. Just as Psalm chapter 119 tells us, God speaks to David through his word, to David's heart. God speaks to David's heart as he read the scripture in the morning. And he memorized it and meditated. In the night, when he meditates on God's word, his heart began to instruct him, correct him, and direct him in righteous way. 2 years ago, I heard a testimony about a persecuted pastor. When he was in the jail, he had no Bible to read. How did he do devotion every day? What he could do is to meditate on the word of God he once memorized. And his heart instructed him to be faithful and thankful, even in a difficult situation. It is the word of God helped him passing through the difficult time. Brothers, sisters, as a Christian, do you know what makes us different from the world? One of the reasons, I believe, is that we have the word of God. We have the counsel from God. That makes us different from others who don't know who God is. This is why David blessed the Lord who gave him counsel. This is really a great thing, great blessing for us. When we don't know where to go, when we don't know how to respond to the situation, we could go to the Word of God to find the counsel, find the answer from there. That's great blessings. This is David's God who preserved, satisfied, and counsels his people. And then what David do for the next? Verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Verse 8. What is the key word in this sentence? What is the key word in this verse? The key word is always. David set the Lord before his face, not occasionally, but constantly. He set the Lord always before him. Just because he set the Lord always before him, he shall not be shaken. For the Lord, he trusts, is the one who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. In his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth, God is unchangeable. Because of God, we shall never be shaken. The question here is this. God is a spirit. He is invisible. How David said the Lord before his face? We could find the answer from Apostle Peter's quotation of this psalm in his sermon on the day of Pentecost. Peter translated Psalm chapter 16, verse 8, in this way. I saw the Lord always before me. God is invisible because he is a spirit. How did God see him? The answer is by faith. He saw God before him. He put his eyes upon the Lord in all his circumstances. Because of that, he never be moved. 400 years ago, there were many Puritan pastors in England who sought to completely reform the church in England through the Word of God. But they were confronted by a lot of difficult situations. Once a time, they were required to agree with the Book of Common Prayer, or they would lose their job at the church. That was a very big challenge to them. How did they respond? For the clear conscience sake, many of them resigned from the Anglican Church. That means they lost the job and income in one day. The number of those Puritan pastors were around 2,000. Why did they give up their job? What made them to stand firm before the temptation he faced? The Lord Jesus Christ. By faith, they saw Jesus Christ was among and with them. Because of him, they were not shaken, even in the great tribulations. Second point, having abundant life, you need to set your mind on resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 9 says, therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. This is a great picture God shows us through David's life regarding an abundant life we have in Jesus Christ, I believe. My heart is glad, my whole being rejoices, my flesh also dwells secure. This is abundant life David had in Jesus Christ. What is abundant life? Abundant life is not about physical things, material things, but spiritual. It is about a soul which is full of joy, gladness, peace, freedom from fear and death, and also hope in the glory of God. All these elements we could see from verse 9. My heart is glad, my whole being rejoices, and my flesh dwells secure. Apostle Peter translated this verse in his quotation like this: therefore, my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced, and my flesh also will dwell in hope. Dwell in hope. The hope here is the eternal hope, just as Pastor Harry preached to us this morning, which is a great blessing to God's people. For those who don't know God, there's no hope in their hearts because they surpass the knowledge of God in their hearts. But for us, as Christians, we always have hope. We have salvation of God who saved us and is saving us and will save us in the future. In the future. So we have hope. Glorious hope. The hope of God. In God. Why? Verse 10 tells us, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. David here, by faith, knew that God would not forsake him in Hades, or God would not let his Holy One see corruption. Question is here, who is the Holy One? Who is the Holy One? If you do Bible study, you would know that the phrase Holy One is a singular. It occurs in the Old Testament around 34 times, and all refer to God Himself. That means when David says, yeah, God will not let His Holy One see corruption, we could surely say that the Holy One is Jesus Christ. Another strong evidence for this interpretation is from Peter's quotation of the psalm in his sermon, when Peter said this word. This verse foresaw the resurrection of Jesus Christ and has been fulfilled in Jesus of Nazareth. Why did David have hope in his resurrection? David had hope in resurrection. Why? Because by faith he saw the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And by faith, he was united with Christ. In Christ, he believed he would not be abandoned to the shell, but have abundant life in Jesus Christ, which is full of joy, gladness, hope, freedom from fear and death. One of the important works of J. Adams is his book called A Theology of Christian Counseling. A Theology of Christian Counseling. Its subtitle is Modern Redemption. Modern Redemption means that God not merely gave his people grace of redemption to deliver them from the wrath of God. He also gave us, his people, counsel to direct them as us to have an abundant life, to glorify God. In verse 11, David said, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is full of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Let me give you an illustration here. Suppose that a mom bore a baby but does not teach and direct him to have a good life, godly life. What do you think about that mom? It is really bad, isn't it? If man knows it's wrong, how much more so for our God? So when David said, "God make known to him the path of life," I believe that the path of life not only show us the way to have eternal life in Christ, more than that, it must also show us the way to enjoy an abundant life in Jesus Christ as we live in this earth. This is what we often miss. God not only gave us new life in Christ, he also teaches us how to live out abundant life to glorify his name. If this is true, that means as a Christian, we don't need to wait for the future to have a joyful, peaceful, victorious life. We may have it abundantly now as taste of the most glorious ones in the new heaven and new earth God prepared for us. Just like Jesus Christ promised us, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And this abundant life is rest upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Conclusion. Brothers and sisters, if you want to have an abundant life, I'm sure you want, right? You need to set the Lord before you always. That means you need to trust in him, find satisfaction in him, and you also need to obey his counsel he gives you in the scripture. Besides that, you need to set your mind on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is sitting at the right hand of God, ruling above the whole earth, and he will come again to give you the full inheritance he prepares for you. For this reason, our heart should be glad. Our whole being should rejoice. Our flesh should dwell in hope. Amen. Let us pray. Yeah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you gave us your word to direct us how to live out abundant life Jesus Christ has for us. Lord, we ask you to continue help us. Give us ability to obey and follow your direction so that we could have a fruitful life to glorify your name. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.